specific thing or two that has most pleased you and most disappointed you. If you could try to avoid words like consistency and work ethic, I'm looking for something specific, like how you did against the run the first 5 weeks, your young quarters developing. What specific things pleased you, disappointed you?
You just answered it for me.
I wanted to give you a couple of possible
examples. You know, we like talking in vagaries here, so. You know, I think specifically, I mean, I thought, you know, except for, I thought our run defense was fairly solid. Even last week, I mean, you know, we kind of did a decent job in the run game. A couple speed options broke out on us, but other than that, we did a good job. So we had our rocky moments, obviously, with some games, but I thought their commitment to that aspect of things was positive. Honestly, look, I think, I don't know if this is too vague for you, but I mean, the guys have played hard the whole year. I mean, even the last 2 weeks, I mean, we were getting stops in the games when obviously like the outcome looked like it was kind of not going to go the way it was. And those guys kept playing. I mean, that in terms of a positive from the last 2 weeks for me, the fact that those guys kept going out there and getting stops and playing through the end of the game. I mean, those are things that we look for, obviously. It's hard. I haven't had time to really like reflect big picture stuff and obviously go back through the cut up. So, you know, just statistically the stuff that, you know, again, some of the things that we stress and that we spend a lot of time on that we haven't had success in terms of takeaways, our red zone defense, those things that I know offhand, you know, it's been disappointing. You know, really our only real positive statistic has been third downs, and we haven't been good in those last 2 weeks. So, you know, those things just off the top of my head, but it really hasn't had a chance to truly examine sort of big picture things and go back. I mean, we're so caught up in the moment, but some of our young players have made some strides this season and hopefully things that we can build on moving forward with them.
Two other concerns I want to ask you about, just from our perspective, wondering if there are disappointments to you. Coverage of tight ends, and obviously a lot of teams have trouble covering tight ends. It seems more extreme with you guys. And pass rush, 28th in sacks, toward the bottom in pressure per pass play. Are those two areas disappointing to you?
I mean, I think obviously everything's been disappointing for us at this point of the year. You know, tight end coverage, I mean, you know, I'm not sure what Kelsey's numbers were last week. I mean, we obviously tried to put a lot of things into stopping him. I mean, he had a couple big plays, scored the touchdown that – you know, we were kind of draped over him, made a nice play on. You know, the other one was kind of a, I don't want to call it a trick play, but kind of a rigged up play, the one they kind of shot the guy at the back end. But, you know, I think, again, every week there's challenges. I mean, I think it's just in general in terms of tight ends, it's been a trend in the league. I mean, those are valuable weapons, you know, I mean, that you know, as teams – you know, as teams and defenses went sort of, I don't want to say smaller, but to try to match up spread offenses and those things, that to have weapons like tight ends that can still be effective in the pass game against some of those, you know, if you're trying to put smaller bodies in terms of nickels and corners out there, that, you know, tight ends that are hybrid weapons have been, I mean, that's, you know, that's sort of a trend in the NFL in general, I think. And I think that's sort of a task for us is finding sort of similar hybrid defenders that can do those type of things, whether it's safeties or linebackers that we feel can cover those guys. So, you know, I think that's just sort of an ongoing sort of movement. Again, I mean, I was in Cincinnati with Eifert, and he was a, you know, a challenge for people. And obviously with, you know, in our division with Gronk and even this week with, you know, with Charles Clay, who's done it, you know, for a long time and those type of things. So I think in general, I think just tight ends, you know, I don't know if it's specific to us or to our defense, you know, apparently you think so. I think that's just the way the league's going and that we have to be able to address those issues in terms of those matchups and those type of athletes that are more and more becoming involved in offenses and what was the other area? Rushes. I mean, yeah, obviously we want more sacks and more production from everybody and from our guys up front. And, you know, I think, you know, I think Cam's had a good season and Cam's disruption numbers are really high actually in the league. He's you know, one of the top 10 in the league, I think, in terms of our disruption numbers, you know, which again involves. I mean, he's obviously got 9 sacks, but he has a bunch of, you know, caused holding penalties and pressures and QB hits and all those sort of things and batted balls and whatnot. So, I mean, you know, I think that's been a positive, and I think Charles has shown some progress in the last couple of weeks that he's kind of in the same boat. I think some of his, again, he got the sack last week, obviously, and again, his sort of disruption numbers have been trending positively for us. So I think those are sort of, again, blocks to build on and to move forward with. So, but obviously anytime you're in the bottom, you know, 5 in the league in a stat that you value and that you put, you know, an emphasis on, it's disappointing.
Max, does it feel like you've been behind almost the entire season?
Like in life or in general, man? I mean, yeah. I mean, no, I mean, that's, listen, you know, and I know it's been said a lot, you know, kind of, I respect Adam. Adam's a lot like me in the sense that, like, if something's not going right, like, first thing he does is, like, blames himself or just looks at himself, you know. So if we're struggling on defense, it's like, well, what have I done? You know, Adam's first thing is, well, I haven't given them a lead. We haven't played good enough. And listen, man, I mean, you guys can check the stats, but I'm pretty sure, like, no team in the NFL has ever started with a lead. I mean, that's on us as much as anything, you know what I mean? And we spent half the year, more than half the year, deferring our coin toss and putting us out in the field first. And so, you know, we have as much to do with getting a lead as an offense does. It's not like, hey, we're going to sit back and play crappy defense until Adam gets a lead and then we can go play ball.
That's the reality. You've been behind a lot, and that skews some of these things you're talking about.
It skews it, but again, but we can't just play defense with a lead. I mean, that like I said, no game starts with a lead. So that may be the true, but it's on us. It's our responsibility to help get a lead. I mean, especially we've, and again, the last, I mean, even looking again, the game this week, I mean, the first time we played Buffalo, if you take our first half stats and our second half stats, I mean, they're pretty, like, disparate. And so, like, we can't start games like that. You know, that's on us as much as an offense. So, yeah, that's great. Like, obviously, I mean, everyone plays better with a lead. It's not like our defense is built a certain way. Every team plays better with a lead. It's a lot easier to play football when you're up 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's just the facts of life. So, but we're as much a factor in that as an offense or whoever else. I mean, we have to contribute to playing better early, to starting games faster, and to getting those leads, and then we can kind of reap the benefits of that for sure. So, I mean, that's part of what we have to do as well.
Now, it's been 2 years now in this system. Has anything that's happened in the last 2 years made you rethink things schematically, or do you think the system's legit?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's and no, I haven't questioned it much of that, but it's listen, schemes are constantly evolving. They're ever evolving, and week to week, obviously, we're adjusting what we think we need to do. And you know, again, guys, listen, I'm still trying to win a football game this week, so you know,
he understands we won't get you for 6 months.
Well, that's not my fault, man. But that's part of. I mean, no, I mean, so listen, I mean, that's something that obviously, like, every off season you address. You know, again, I'm in the heat of it, guys. Like, I'm working on this week and then on game to game situation. And, you know, obviously you're self scouting throughout the season, but to really step back and evaluate schematically and say, okay, now you have this body of work, whether it's the last 2 years or obviously this past year with some of the stuff I've been trying to do, like what worked, what didn't, what do I think is where we're lacking, or what do we have to make sure that that's not something that we want to do moving forward. So, those will be kind of questions that we'll answer, obviously, in the next 4 or 5 months, hopefully. But I don't think the scheme is broken, per se.
Your rookie class, I think I've got them all. Harris, Gottschall, Taylor, Tankersley, mm-hmm. Chase Allen, and mm-hmm. then Torrey McTyre. Mm-hmm. What have you seen from them, and has the contribution been a little more than you thought it would be at the start of the season?
Probably. I mean, you know, we tell the guys when they come in, I mean, the best player is going to play, and we always tell them, hey, I mean, again, just look at the history of the last 2 years here. I mean, in terms of everyone's going to get opportunity, I mean, between injuries and things that happen. So, you know, I think it's been positive for those guys to have some success, not just play. I mean, I can play a bunch of rookies, and it doesn't matter if they don't perform to, you know, up to our standards. So I think, you know, at varying levels, they've had sort of moments of success and done some good things that we feel good about being able to utilize some of those players moving forward. It's definitely probably been, Again, off the top of my head, it's probably played more rookies this year than I have in, than I've been around a while. I mean, I've been on some, you know, since I was on more, some more veteran teams. And even last year, we were kind of a little bit more of a veteran squad. So definitely probably played more than I've kind of done in the past, but they earned their spots. They earned their time. And if they showed the successes that some of them showed, then they got to continue playing. So, it was good. I mean, again, I thought, honestly, from the draft process forward, like I thought Chris and those guys identified the young players that, you know, just kind of approach-wise and mindset in terms of, I mean, he wanted to bring guys in that kind of fit the culture we were trying to build and worked hard and were all about football. And I think that kind of showed reflected in them being able to play and contribute. I think they're kind of a mature class for a bunch of rookies, and I think sort of it wasn't too big for them, so that was made it easier for us to kind of put them on the field and give them opportunities. But I think that started through the draft process and honestly up through obviously the off season with those guys, the way they've worked, and that whole class has been really into, they're just all about ball, which is kind of what we want.
Nice. You mentioned the hybrid player in the lineup. Mm-hmm.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got a skill set that fits like that type of role. Obviously, he's a bigger safety. Again, the issue you get into, you have small safeties and you put them down and they're maybe too small in the run game, or, you know, if you have linebackers that can't run with tight ends. I mean, that's the sort of the contrast. I mean, he definitely has a skill set that we feel like we can utilize.
Have you not been able to expand?
I mean, we're thin a little bit at safety right now, to be honest with you. Obviously, with – I mean, you know, Nate's out and now, you know, Mike T's been a little nicked up the last couple of weeks. I mean, and Mo Smith went on IR. So, I mean, we're a little thin at safety position right now, to be honest with you, to try to work some different things. So it's been, you know, it's again, it's always a big picture in terms of how you're utilizing the roster. And again, if you try to move TJ kind of down into the box, say, or wherever, you got to put somebody else in. I mean, that's always say you're taking somebody off the field, you got to put somebody in. And we haven't necessarily had the sort of matchups to be able to do some of those things.
Matt, so far this year. Metrics like says
Barry's hogging the whole press
Alonzo
conference.
Alonzo has allowed by far the most yards and pass coverage in the league of any linebacker by a huge margin. Do you simply not have any better options against tight ends? Obviously, he's not on tight ends or backs all of the time. You use others. But is there not a better option as a primary defender on those players, on your roster?
Yeah, I mean, My stats on Kiko are probably different than a lot of people's, but I mean, I don't know. You got a better option? You want?
I don't.
Okay, well, I mean, no. I mean, all those guys. Listen, all our linebackers. Listen, our linebacker safeties. All those guys. Like, it's not just Kiko. I mean, again, we've gotten Steph some more work. We've, you know, got Lawrence. I mean, Rashad, TJ. Like all those guys. We have different options in terms of matching guys up. Sometimes we feel Kiko's our best matchup with a back or tight end. Sometimes it's Rashad. Sometimes it is TJ or, you know, Steph or whoever it may be. So, I mean, you know, to put, you know, I know you guys try to build these narratives about who's bad and who's good and all this stuff. I mean, you know, Kiko has his moments when he makes plays. Kiko has his moments when he's in a tough matchup. I mean, same thing for all the rest of those guys. So, to try to correlate directly, like Kiko being a major issue in pass coverage, I don't necessarily see it that way. So, I mean, there's times where we feel Kiko's a good matchup with what his skill set is. There's times where we'd rather have somebody else on, say, a tight end or a back. So that's going to vary week to week. You can go ahead, Joe.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Without casting aspersions on whether or not this player is good or bad.
Okay.
You tell me, how has Andre Branch's performance and impact this year compared to last?
It's probably not that far off. You know, he's been battling some stuff. Dre has, you know, he's been, I think it's kind of one of the less talked about things that the sort of, he's been battling through a lot of things and kind of try to tough some things out. So I don't think he's been feeling, you know, 100% physically. So I think that's probably affected, you know, a little bit of his production and those sort of things. And, you know, he's kind of been right where we want him to be.